Good morning. Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a garden designer, landscape designer, horticulturist, garden author. I just love taking care of plants and helping people with their plant questions, just walking through and just seeing how beautiful the world can be with a beautiful landscape. So we love to talk with you. If you have your gardening questions, we have you can call in with your garden questions, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. We have a wonderful interview coming up. I'm very excited about this product, and I can't wait to talk about it because it's exciting. But I did want to remind everyone that we are in a drought period right now, and what that means is that we're not getting rainfall even in the springtime and the winter, which is supposed to be our dry period. It's even drier than normal, and that's not a good thing. So there is a burn ban throughout most of the state of Florida. You do not want to be burning anything because everything will catch fire very easily, and we want to prevent forest fires. So there is a burn ban going on right now. Now, what does it mean when we're in a drought? Does that mean, gosh, I got to water more? No. We're going to get some really good rain tomorrow. That should be all we need for the week. In fact, if you wanted to water just once a week, if no rainfall, for the entire year, that's all we need to water. You do not have to water every couple of days, three times a week, or every day. If you're doing that, one, you're wasting a lot of money, and two, you're hurting your own landscape. Because as we go through these droughts, the landscapes that are watered most often and most in depth, they are going to be the ones that die first. Okay, so the more you water, the shorter root system your plants will have, and they will not be able to handle a dry period. Okay, so when we are in droughts, it doesn't matter if it's native or non-native. We have our native xeric plants that handle dry, sandy conditions like you have in Lake County and Claremont, parts of central Orlando. But then we also have our mesic soils, which have really good earthworms in them, that lots of organic material. If you have earthworms, you have mesic soils. And what that means is that your soil has moisture and organic material, not too much because worms can't swim, but just enough to hold on to the water just a little bit longer. And then we have our hydric soils, and these are our soils next to lakefronts and shallow areas, compacted areas that have a clay pan soil, like that there's no percolation of the water, and those are really wet soils. And so, you know, to determine what you have, what kind of soil you have, you want to go out to the yard, to the area you want to plant in, and dig down about 5 to 6 inches and put the soil in your hand. Now, you want to do this 48 hours after rainfall or after irrigation. So if we get rain Sunday and Monday, Wednesday, go out to your yard, put some soil in your hand, 5 or 6 inches down under the ground, put it in your hand and squeeze it. If after 48 hours, you could open your hand back up and the sand is warm and it just filters right through your hand, doesn't make a mound, it just filters right through, then you have xeric soils, very sandy soils. You need to buy plants and install plants that can handle those conditions. If after 48 hours you squeeze your hand and open it back up and it makes a little mound, you know, it's shaped like your fingers, and you see little twigs in it, it's dark brown, you see a little bit of bark in it, some dark soil, those are mesic soils. And so you know to have plants that can handle those conditions. Then after 48 hours, if you can squeeze your hand and still get moisture or feel the dampness in the soil after 48 hours, then you have hydric soils. You need to buy plants that can handle wet conditions. All right? So that's a really easy way to do this. And just check your soils. That way, we should plant so that we can, our plants and our landscapes are based just on rainfall. We don't want them to be in a situation where we have to water them to keep them, you know, healthy and thrive. Lissy, do you like to lug the irrigation hose around your turkeys in your yard?
Absolutely love it.
Do you?
I don't.
I thought you do.
It is so annoying.
It is annoying. The hoses are so heavy, aren't they? And you're mm-hmm. dragging them. And then after a while, they start to get deteriorate and degrade, and they get stiff.
I am so angry. I just had to throw out like a $150 hose because I didn't plan ahead when we had the freeze.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it got a huge crack in it.
Oh, my
goodness. And I'm looking at it. Now, yes, I could have actually cut it and redone it. But you know what? I've got so much going on in life that that's out the door. So, yes.
No. Okay. Yeah. So lugging it's annoying in my front yard. I do not like to lug around the thing because you have to lug them around plants and then it lays on top of the plant and it breaks the shrubs. And and then you have to pull it back in and roll it back up again and throw it underneath the house. And, you know,
you've been at my house before.
There you go. Well, we have a product that we're going to be talking about with Annie Morton. She is with HoseLink and it is incredible. It's beautiful. It can go anywhere, and I just can't wait to talk to you about it. So we are going to be back. Did I miss the dirty word of the day?
You sure enough did.
We'll have to do that at the bottom of the half hour. Okay, the dirty word of the day will be at the half hour. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Since joining HoseLink in 2020, Annie Morton has been a key contributor to the company. She leverages her expertise in gardening, sustainability, and her appreciation for the natural environment. She has comprehensive experience across product development, customer service, and marketing. So this diverse background enables Annie to provide valuable insights into HoseLink's impact on how quality tools can have on both effective gardening and overall lifestyle enjoyment. So I so appreciate Annie coming on. I saw this product this week and I said, you have to come on and tell us about it because it's so exciting. Annie Morton, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I'm wonderful. It's nice to join you.
Thank you so much. So despite vital conservation efforts and water restrictions around Florida, there's still reasons homeowners need to hand water their landscapes, particularly when caring for new plants, containers, and hanging baskets. So, Annie, what challenges do residents face with hoses, irrigation systems, and HOAs when dealing with manual watering?
Yeah, look, watering restrictions are really challenging as a homeowner, aren't they? But I also think that they're a bit of a nice reminder of our obligation to be good citizens and to be really mindful of our resources. So normally I think, you know, we think of sprinklers and irrigation systems as being time savers, which they certainly can be. But while we've got all these restrictions in place, we actually just need to really focus on getting right to the root of what needs water the most. And so hand watering really comes in as kind of the savior on the spot there so that we can really target plants, get right in at the base with our hand watering, as opposed to kind of dispersing a huge amount of water through the air, you know, our sprinkler systems and whatnot.
Right, so, and it just transpires and it's wasted really when it goes through the air.
Exactly. The last thing we want to be doing is, you know, we've got this tiny amount of water to use right now. We really want to make sure it's going where it needs to go. And also hand watering also lets us get up nice and close to our plants and really identify any extra stresses or diseases that are happening as well. So you get a bit of a two-for-one benefit with hand watering at the moment.
Oh, I so appreciate it. I have a client who we just installed a new landscape for, and he likes to go out there and water the plants, and that's what he does. And, you know, I said, enjoy it. And he does. He goes out there for, you know, 20 minutes and waters the plants, and he kind of meditates. And you know, he really appreciates the landscape a little bit more. So tell me.
We hear that a lot with people. There are a lot of coffee cups dispersed through the garden where people are going through doing their morning watering and kind of enjoying that meditative property. And before you know it, you've left a week worth of coffee mugs out there.
That's so true. So your product is called Evolve. So how did the Evolve Irrigation Series evolve? See what I did there?
Yeah, I see you. So HoseLink is actually an Australian company, and growing up in Australia, we experience these water restrictions every single year. You know, this is everything that people are experiencing in Florida at the moment. This is kind of an every summer situation. So it's a really natural progression for our products to consider how we can best conserve water. So with Evolve, I think we've managed to strike a really nice balance between making sure that there's still a really strong and consistent flow, but one of the real water saving upgrades is actually the quick connect fittings that we use. So instead of a click-on style, which if you've used a click-on style fitting with a strong water pressure, you'll see sometimes they just come off and all of a sudden you're gushing water everywhere and it's hugely wasteful and your water bill's going through the roof. So our fittings actually have a bayonet style connection, so it's completely watertight, impossible to burst, and it actually saves you thousands of gallons of water each year. Just in terms of just a regular drip or a leak. So you've got huge water-saving benefits of that. And then there's another piece. So all of our R&D has gone into Evolve. And so what you've got is that strong water flow, a user-friendly design, but also it's UV stabilized. So with that, it also is going to withstand the sun, because obviously if we're not getting rain, we are getting a lot of sun.
That's true.
And so we're not just addressing the need to conserve water, we're also making sure that the hose is wrapped up in a nice kind of protective casing so that the entire product is designed to last for years and years.
I'm so glad that you say that, because our hose do break down, they do degrade in our heat, and it doesn't take long. And so from Australia, I can tell your accent from Australia. They're number one in conservation. They're just really, really progressive in that respect. So their plants, the conservation plants, they're just incredible. They do well here in Florida too as well. So what hose lengths are available?
Sure thing. So we have a couple of different models of retractable hose reels. So if you were in, say, a townhouse, then we have a 50-foot retractable model, and it goes all the way up to a 100-foot retractable model. So whatever size property you're on, you can absolutely enjoy the convenience of a retractable hose reel. It is, I don't want to say it'll change your life, but at the same time, that's what our customers have told us. It feels like hyperbole, but it truly kind of makes a chore something that's actually quite enjoyable.
I so agree with you, and I will tell you, I appreciate the accessibility of the hose. And for homeowners young and old, this is a very easy way to get out in the garden and hand water. But I'm also very impressed by its elegant design. That's what caught me right away. I love the design. It's very classy, and it will look good on your patio or your pool area.
Yeah, look, I think we wanted to make sure that we're creating a solution and not another problem. I think, you know, hoses can be such an eyesore, whether
yes.
they are, you know, tangled up around a cart or in a bit of a mess of a pile on the ground. I think we really want to make sure that whilst we're offering this convenience, it needs to look good. I think we're working so hard on our yards and our gardens to make sure that they're beautiful, they're calming, they're pleasing. And so with this product, it's, you know, we're not trying to add another mess to a landscape.
Sure.
The idea is that it tidies itself away. It's got a beautiful, smooth, sleek casing. And we've got two colorways, beige and charcoal, but both of which are quite neutral. So they can really blend in with your yard to keep everything kind of intact, to keep the aesthetic that you've designed for your home, to keep that intact.
And this is what's nice about it, is that it's kind of like HOA friendly.
Oh, incredibly so.
You know,
incredibly. You are never going to get dinged for leaving your hose out on your yard, because one little tug and the entire thing retracts smoothly back into the casing. So in that case, you know, it's HOA friendly. It gets rid of tripping hazards in your yard. You'll never have to wonder, is that a hose or is that a snake?
Oh, that's always a good selling point.
Exactly. So now, traditional irrigation hoses, they last 4 or 5 years. How long can you expect the Evolve retractable hose to work? Is it difficult to replace it if it needs replaced?
No, so we've actually made Evolve very, very easy to work with and for it to last a very long time. So in terms of that retraction mechanism, you can honestly expect, say, about 25 years worth of daily watering. So that spring-loaded retraction is tested for 10,000 retractions. So that's 25 years of daily use.
Wow.
Which is we are just so proud of.
Sure.
We're so proud of that. And then another couple of really nice pieces, it comes with a 5-year warranty, which again, that's the longest warranty we've ever been able to offer on one of our hose products, and also has some replaceable parts as well. So it's actually the only retractable in the market where if something was to happen with your hose for whatever reason, I think life happens, right? Sometimes your dog thinks it's a chew toy. Sometimes you should retract it, but you didn't, and then someone goes over it with a lawnmower. Now, if that happens, we can replace the actual hose.
Mm-hmm.
So the product itself is actually incredibly sustainable and really, really serviceable. So in that sense, it really can last years and years and years, as opposed to, like, as you said, those traditional hoses that you're getting from your big box store, leaving out in the sun and, you know, cracking from the heat, and then you get that freak freeze that comes through.
Sure.
You know, everything's just protected within that casing. So it's tucked away out of the elements. So you're extending the life of your hose just by having it sitting there in the casing. And then on top of that, all of those durable features that we've designed into the product as well. So you are looking at about a lifetime of watering out of this.
Well, that's so good to hear, and I like the 5-year warranty. That's important. Now, Annie, so let's talk about price, because something that's quality isn't always cheap. But tell us about the price, and is it a kit? Do you buy all of it in one? So how much does it cost?
Sure thing. So look, I'm not going to tell you it's the cheapest piece of watering equipment on the market, but I will say it's a wonderful investment. So our retractable hose reels all come with everything that you need to get started. So that is the casing, the hose, the mounting bracket and hardware, spray nozzle and quick connect fittings. So it is truly an all-in-one. And that's for our Evolve series hose reels, they come in at $299. So what we find is that, you know, people start with one because they want to test it out. And then truly within weeks,
they get another one.
They get the other, because they're like, well, how did I do this? Why did I deal with this previously? Why did I deal with manually winding up my hoses? And before you know it, there's one out the back, there's one out the front, and come Christmas time, there's one for the kids or one for their parents.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
And, well, if you actually add up the cost of a good, sturdy hose that doesn't kink and doesn't, like, the sun damage and rot here in the state of Florida, and then the quick connects, like the brass ones, if you add that all up, you're actually, in my opinion, is that you're getting a better price and a better quality setup with them.
Yes, that the Evolve series, that is so true. So Annie, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people see this product? It's gorgeous. I love it. And definitely going to invest in it for our yard. But where can people see the video and things?
Sure thing. Head to www.hoselink.com and you can find all of the details there. You can also find us on social, so Instagram and Facebook at Hoselink USA. But for everything you need, just jump on the website. And any questions, we've got a wonderfully friendly customer service team here in the US as well. So always do not hesitate to reach out to us with any questions.
Well, Annie, thank you so much. I will also be posting it on our Facebook page and in my newsletter, so you'll be able to get it from there too as well. Annie, thank you so much for reaching out from down under.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, Annie, thank you so much. That's hoselink.com, and it's just beautiful. I can see this for use in pools, patios, small front yards, HOAs, and just
turkey
a great
runs.
Turkey runs. There you go. Thank you so much, Annie Morton with hoselink.com. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. The dirty word of the day is next. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and we're taking your phone calls, 1-888-455-2967, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680, and we can answer your gardening questions. Want to remind everyone that the Seminole County Expo is going on today from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. Lots of things to do for the children's activities, lots of scavenger hunts and educational workshops, and even the museum is free today to go into, open for everyone. They'll have somebody there, a historical docent there, and then also to lots of talks on bees and native plants. I will be doing a talk at 10:30 on landscape design, designing your dream landscape. I look forward to seeing everyone and giving you all my little tips and some great photos.
Oh, I have a question.
Sure.
When do we need to plant potatoes, mm-hmm. or do we need to start them so they have the eyes? What do we need to do?
Well, you can take them and let them dry out a little bit, you mm-hmm. know, so that, and then when you can plant them. Usually potatoes are planted in the fall, late summer okay. and fall. But you can go ahead and plant them midsummer too as well. Mm-hmm. Just let them grow in the ground.
Okay.
Yeah, and even potato bags. I like the potato bags.
Okay. Yeah. You bought me one and those are really cool.
Yeah. It works
really well. I don't
want
to get it dirty though. I keep looking. I'm like, it's so pretty. It has its own little, what's that called? The pajamas that had the little...
The diaper bottom.
Yeah. The trap chute or whatever.
Yeah. The trap door where you can open it up without taking all the plants out of it. Yes.
But yeah, that's, you know, so I was wondering because I see that in a box store that they have a bag of them for like 10, 12 bucks. There's like four in there. I'm going,
wow. You know, potatoes are so expensive when it's so easy to grow your own.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah.
So,
no,
okay.
I agree.
Right.
That and the corn is the time for corn. If you like the midsummer corn mm-hmm. and corn for picnics, now is the time to plant it.
Okay. Seeds go ahead and get your seeds in the ground right now.
Right. Okay. Seeds right now is fine. So 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680, and I would love to answer your gardening questions. Right now, you can be perennials. Your plants that are dead, they may not be so dead. You know, just again, like Tom McCubbin said earlier, depends on how patient you want to be. All right, so we are going to have that little cold front come through on Monday. We're used to it. You know, if your plants haven't been cut, they will handle it just fine because they haven't had any new growth stimulation. But I'm really surprised to see the new growth like on crinum lilies.
Mm-hmm.
Crinum lilies got really damaged. And they already, 3 days after the freeze, they were already starting to shoot up new plants. Florida's great.
And it's crazy because it's like this freeze like turned a lot of my plants that ended up getting hit that I still had covered, but turned them into mush.
Yes.
But then I look down into the soil and they've got a pretty little green flower. Leaf coming up, and I'm going, what?
Do you know what's blooming beautifully in my yard right now? I'll send you, show you pictures. My amaryllis.
Oh.
All the orangey red orange flowers, they're all blooming like we didn't have any winter, you know, and they're just beautiful right now. Amaryllis, and they're blooming gorgeous, and like they didn't even experience the wintertime.
Nice.
And I'm just really, I was really surprised. I walked out my yard and go, whoa, those are already blooming. That's great. And so because, you know, we started Lent and Easter is going to be right here around the corner.
This is true.
Yeah. What do you do for Easter?
Absolutely nothing.
You don't do anything.
I mean, it's so crazy because
the kids are too big.
Yeah.
Now.
They're just too big. And then they have their own families that they do their own stuff.
Yeah.
So we do a little Easter story and we talk about Jesus, you know, and the resurrection. And, but yeah, we don't. Spring isn't really our big thing. Our big thing is the fall and Christmas. So.
I agree with you. I just remember getting all dressed up and the little white gloves and the little dress with the bows.
Cute. And well, I have a grand niece in Seattle, Washington, and so I found at Cracker Barrel they had cute little bunny, the little shoes, the dress shoes.
Yes.
But they had the little bunnies on them.
Aww.
So I found a cute dress to go with it, and I sent it
there
up
you
to
go.
Seattle. So.
Oh, how cool is that? We used to, when we dressed like that, my dad would take us, uh, the, the three oldest, because that's all there was at the time, to Cypress Gardens, and we would get our photographs taken in Cypress Gardens, and it was just lovely. So poinsettias, if your poinsettia made it through the freeze, you can go ahead and put it out in the landscape now. If you brought it in, that will be great. I want to hear from the guy who had the 5-foot-tall coconut tree on the coast. Remember he called in and said he had a 5-foot-tall coconut tree? What did you do with your coconut tree? Because I told him very seriously to dig it up and bring it into the garage.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he did that. So you can take it now out of the garage and put it back in the yard after Monday.
But what does
Monday.
He need to do? Okay, so what does he need? Okay, so he takes it out after Monday.
After Monday.
He take it out. Does he need to put anything in the ground?
No.
What does he need to do to make it reestablished?
So you don't want to fill a single hole with any organic material, because most of your plants, when you buy them, already have good soil in them.
Right.
And so there's no reason to amend a single hole. You want to amend the entire garden bed if you do any kind of soil amendment. And then that way, it is spaced throughout where all the roots grow. If you amend a single hole, what's going to happen is that the tree is going to send out new roots, and it's going to love that new organic material, and it's going to keep on growing. And then either with the warmer temperatures or if you put fertilizer down again, it's going to go through another growth spurt, and it's going to send the roots out more. And it's going to hit that sugar sand, most likely. It's not going to like it.
Oh.
And it's going to turn back into the good organic soil. And it will literally, over the next couple of years, girdle itself. So you want to, while the plant's in shock, go ahead and amend your soil bed. You want to use one bag of topsoil, one bag of compost, one bag of manure, black cow manure, for every 10 square feet of property. And then you just mix it all up and incorporate it. Then you plant your plant. And then while it's in shock, it's going to send those new roots out. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be in the soil that is there.
Yeah.
And then when it goes through another growth spurt, it's going to be the same soil.
Okay.
So it's going to continue to expand out into the garden bed. If you amend a single hole, the chances of you girdling your plant and it dying. Have you ever seen, I don't know in your yard, but I've seen in landscapes where after 2 to 3 years, you pull the azalea up and it's still in the same root ball as when it was planted.
Oh, it happens more often because we have a lot of sand. I mean, we're Florida. We have a lot of sand on our property alone. Yeah. And it's like, I'm like,
why didn't
it
grow?
Make sense. Yeah. It didn't make sense. So yeah, that makes sense now that you explained
So it doesn't, you didn't probably stimulate it, you know, open up that root ball a little
didn't
bit.
Do it. Nope.
And then two, so when you add the organic amendments, it's going to kind of stay in that area. So amend the entire garden bed, not a single hole.
Okay.
And that'll save you some time, and it'll save your plants, and that'll be great.
Thank you.
All right. So also, too, we want to thank Tom for calling in this morning. It's always great to talk with him, and we do appreciate him. And I appreciate him. He's going to be filling in for me. So
yes.
I'm very excited when we go on these wonderful garden tours. If you would like to hear more about our garden tours, we would love for you to come with us. Go to artandbloomgardentours.com. We're going to some beautiful places this year. And we're very excited about it. And we have small groups, beautiful accommodations, delicious food, and we just have a great time.
I mean, I know that everybody sees Teresa as a rock star, which she is, but she does like to keep it to smaller groups.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's worth it.
It does. You know, but I just want to be able to talk to everybody and get to know everybody.
Yes.
And then talk about our gardens. Because when we go, I will let you know what will grow in Florida. And, you know, the color combinations you see are all exciting. But that's how I found out some of my plants that are great for Florida. I saw them in Scotland and Ireland and, you know, up in Canada. And I'm going, this will grow great in Florida.
Oh,
why didn't I know about this?
I love that. And, you know, you're also passing that knowledge on to those who go on the tour. So
yes.
Where do they go? Because they need to know the cost. They need to know that there's possible waiting lists. And they may need to make sure that they've got their passport, too.
Their passport, too, if you want to go to the international tours. They can go to artandbloomgardentours.com. And so right now, you can go ahead and, just your container gardens. Get them all prepared for springtime. If you haven't replenished the soil, it's going to have, you'll see your containers, the soil in the containers go down and down and down and down. And that's because plants eat soil. They don't eat fertilizer. You know, if I was to give Tony a plate of fertilizer, you know, a plate of vitamins, because that's what
you're
basically.
He'd probably go to jail.
Yeah, no, he would not be a happy camper. And so, you know, the vitamins are very important for plants, but they get their nutrition from the soil when the fertilizers break down and it's absorbed by the plants. So that's important. Great time to start composting leaves. The oak trees are going to be dropping their leaves again. So it's a great time to use those compost, you know, those leaves in your compost. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. Thank you to Annie Morton, HostLink.com, and Tom McCubbin. Appreciate them. And Lizzie, thank you for all you do.
Oh, thank you. Thank you to our listeners, those that have called in, those that didn't want to speak on air. I'll relay the message. So if it weren't for you guys, well, you know what? We wouldn't have such a good time.
From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
You can always go back and recap any of the shows at betterlawns.com and also check out the Facebook and social media pages, which is Better Lawns and Gardens.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens, and I went right through. I was so interested in my letting you know what kind of soil conditions you have that I forgot about the dirty word of the day. So let's do it right now. Let's do the dirty word of the day.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is cauliflory. It is a botanical phenomenon in which plants produce flowers and fruits directly from their main stems or woody trunks rather than from new growth or shoots. And so the word comes from callus meaning stem and flory from the word flower. And one, the trait is uncommon in temperate regions but very common in tropical forests. One widely discussed hypothesis for the evolution of cauliflory, is that it facilitates pollination or seed dispersal by animals, such as bats, which can climb on trunks and sturdy limbs to access nectar and fruit. Certain species may instead bear fruit that falls from the canopy and matures only upon reaching the ground. Additional theories include competitive dynamics for sugars and minerals between flowers and young leaves, as well as mechanical support for larger floral structures and fruits. Examples of cauliflory are cacao trees, showy bottlebrush, umbrella plant, the Schefflerus, starfruit, jackfruit, coffee arabica, cannonball tree, papaya, the eastern redbud, fig species, and durian, which is the king of fruits. Cauliflory provides several advantages: pollination, flowers are accessible to climbing mammals, bats, and birds. Seed dispersal, fruits are easier for animals to reach, increasing the likelihood of spreading seeds away from the parent tree. And adaptation to environment. In dense tropical forest, flowers on trunks are more visible and reachable than those in the canopy. So the dirty word of the day is cauliflory. Said it correctly at the end there.
Nice.
Thank you so much. We are going to take your phone calls, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Let's go, Linda. We're glad you're up and running again, so thank you very much for letting us know. We wanted to make sure you could hear us. So greetings from Melbourne Beach. This is Buffalo. Good morning, Buffalo. My avocado tree, papaya, my guava tree, and my bananas suffered terribly. Some of my bananas have started sprouting out green again, and I'm not worried about the ones that have the big, big root systems grown. Those will regrow. I'm mostly worried about my avocado tree that does not have one green leaf on it. I don't see green buds at the top. Should I cut those back, or what should I do? The same with a guava, which is a much smaller tree. Everything here in Melbourne Beach suffered terribly. I guess that's what we call the Florida fall when the leaves turn. I had a beautiful Schefflerus tree that has lost every leaf, and I see some green sprouts at the tips, and I lost all the shade in my back porch. Will those come back? Thank you very much. Well, Buffalo, I will tell you, I think it will be just fine. I'm concerned about your avocado tree, But what I need you to do is start at the highest level that you can reach. And again, scrape that outer layer of bark to where if you see green. If you see green, then the tree's going to recover. Scrape until, if it's brown, keep scraping back. And it will probably come back, you know, probably just right above the main trunk. So you may have to cut it back some, but I would find that green first before, and that'll tell you where you need to cut. Okay, your guava tree, I would do the same thing too. It may come back, okay, might not, but it should come back. And then everything else, your scheffler will be just fine. Just go ahead and cut the scheffler right down to where you can keep it as a tree. Cut it back as much as you can. Go ahead and scrape it. Find the green area, and it should come back. So it's not going to be too bad. Just take a deep breath, Buffalo. We will recover. Good morning, Teresa and Lizzie. I don't really have a lot of plants, but I would like to grow some cherry tomatoes in a container and wonder which ones are best. I'm in a courtyard villa, and I have no grass. My bushes came through the freeze okay. I just enjoy listening to the program, and I learn a lot. Last time I asked a question, it was, can I grow a tree in a pot? And was told yes, as long as every so often I pull it up and trim the roots so it doesn't become pot-bound. Are peach trees feasible to grow in a pot? And what kind of cherry tomatoes are the best? Thank you, Teresa, for your advice and suggestions. Well, I appreciate you texting. And so, yes, you can grow your peach tree in a pot, in a container. Just think of Spain, and in the courtyards, they have all those fruit trees growing in containers. So you want to make sure you've got a good size container so that you have enough room for a good size root ball. So I would say anything from 15 to 25 gallon, okay, pot that you can put into your patio area or outside in your patio area. And it should do just fine. You want to make sure that you're cutting it correctly at the right time of the year and you're fertilizing. Okay, so that would be fine. But it's got to get enough sunlight in your courtyard. Okay, that's going to be the one thing that I'm concerned about is how much sunlight you get. Now, your cherry tomatoes, sweet millions are wonderful. You can do black night, the darker ones. There's so many different varieties of cherry tomatoes, including the Everglades cherry tomato, which has fruit all year round. So there's so many different varieties. Sweet 100, you got the Sweet Million, and then you got Million, all kinds of really great cherry tomatoes. So
I'm going to have to look to see what I got, and because I'm not a big cherry tomato fan, because they just, I haven't really found too many that are actually sweet. And but I was going by the name. It said Sweet
Million. Sweet Million. Try those. And okay. Then there's also the Sweet 100.
All right.
So you can grow those. So let us know how you do with your container pot and your tomatoes. Thank you for texting. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. So what can you be doing right now in your yard? Well, I just kind of want you to focus, if you're growing deciduous fruit trees like your apples, your peaches, your pears, your nectarines, your plums, you need to prune those now so that they can go ahead and get their new growth going and produce flowers for the springtime. You want to make sure you're cutting your peach tree so that it's in a vase shape. Keep the peach trees and nectarines at a height that you can see across. That's going to enable you to harvest the peaches and the nectarines reasonably, and you'll get more. So the vase shape, just think of a champagne glass, the old-fashioned cocktail glass, and you want to have where the interior kind of cups. And that's going to be the best way for air circulation. You also, it's an open center. It's called vase shape. If you need to have a publication on it, just send me an email and I'll send you a publication on it. It's okay to prune your deciduous trees and fruits right now. Go ahead and do it this Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.